welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Bill, you got anything for us?
No, I was just...
Thought I'd just change it up there and throw you off guard.
No, you're not going to throw me off guard because I was reading about the Falun Gong. So I'm all up to speed.
Oh, well, you can do that. You can announce that part then.
Yeah.
You can find everything about the program at wethepeopleradio.us. So today our focus is China. So the first half was national security. And the second half we have our guest Dr. Chen with us again. And last time that we were speaking with him, there were little bits and pieces of his personal story that came out. And so I asked him if he'd be okay to maybe come on and share a little bit of that with us. But I've got his bio on the page for today, and it's relatively comprehensive, so I won't read it all. But he's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been a spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. And he was outraged by the June 4th massacre, and I'm sure that we'll hear more about that. He was elected vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And just the story of people who have come from China and realized what they were up to, and our friend June, who's been on before, her story follows that same pattern. So we were curious to hear from you sort of what your journey looked like and how you wound up where you are.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm so honored to be invited back.
Love having you back.
I want to share the things that may or may not known by Americans. I remember that quite a few years ago, so long ago, I don't even remember how many years, but a best friend of mine in America, we talked about a little bit about my life, it just came up, and I told him about when I was entering the college, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to pick my own desired area for study. I'll talk why I have that privilege of opportunity. And totally unprepared, that was one thing that touched him the most. He was, it brought him to tears. And I was quite surprised. And he said this to me. He said, "Shizhang, you did not know that how much this means to us, America. We take things for granted." Mm-hmm. And when you tell me that students in China, at least at my time, did not have the freedom to choose what you study, your area of interest, that is so shocking, so shocking. So I really don't, I'm not sure what will touch Americans more. So I will try to cover this more details that may help them to understand what is communism like. And so they wouldn't think about socialism, and it wouldn't go even near that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so let me start with how I got to where I am. So I was born in 1962, 4 years before the Cultural Revolution. So my childhood, from 1966 to 1970, that was 10 years of Cultural Revolution. So from 4 to 14 or 15, that 10 years of Cultural Revolution. During the Cultural Revolution, the country's education totally stopped. Colleges shut down. elementary and middle school, they're not shut down, but they're pretty much non-functional. Give you a story. This is a true story. People like in my age all know about it, but the Communist Party has basically castrated that part of history out of the memory of Chinese people. They cover it up, okay? So during the Cultural Revolution, the teacher dare not to teach, and the student do not have to study. And it was called the Cultural Revolution, so everything is revolution. But basically, everything is rebel. And there's this, there's several role models of students who would, when the test time came, like in final exam, they would turn in the test sheet without answering any question. And they would be set up as a role model for the country's young kids because they would be like rebel. The concept of rebel, how do I make a connection with Americans? So one of the things I remember, this may not be completely accurate, but that's what I remember, Hillary Clinton's role model was, I don't remember the professor's name, but that professor, think Lucifer is the first revolutionary because he rebelled against God, okay? It's that kind of
wow. Simple. That sounds about right. Yeah, Lucifer's yeah. Role model. What a great idea.
Yeah. So,
definitely something I want to emulate.
Yeah, that was the kind of things that, that influenced that generation, that 10 years of Cultural Revolution. Everything is upside down. So, finally, the country is about to be bankrupt, towards the end of Cultural Revolution. The Cultural Revolution was brought to an end because Mao Zedong's death. And then the country has to get back on its feet. And the authorities at that time want to revive the education, which has been shut down for 10 years. And so they want to have some role model. Kids who studied, kids who were, talented. And so the education authority went around the whole country to search for this kind of a young, talented student. They found 21 of them, and they put them into a special program called, there are different names for it, but some were called, Accelerated Student Program, some were called Genius Program. 21 of them, and I was one of them. So, at the age of 15, I was admitted to that program hosted by China University of Science and Technology. It was a big deal at that time. We were on TV, at that time we didn't know we're, young celebrities. So I was just fortunate to be in that kind of situation. And because of that, because that we were kind of special, I was able to choose my own area of study. I chose biology. Other students at that time weren't lucky. They would attend the national exam for entering college, and then a lot of them, their area of study was decided by the state, by the authority,
And so it wasn't your parents, it wasn't you, it wasn't your skill set, it was basically the government decides, like, what you're going to be when you grow up, and you have to go off, learn that, and that basically forms your whole life. Gosh, how could that ever go wrong? And gee, why wouldn't people be deliriously happy about that? Imagine they're not deliriously happy. We have to take a really quick break. Just not to spoiler alert, but Dr. Chen does have a PhD in molecular biology. So we'll hear more about that here in a minute. You're listening to We the People.
Slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise? So long. I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
It's never too late. Especially when you're 15 years old and you get to go to the gifted program at China University. So tell me this. I was thinking on the break, Dr. Chen. Were you not allowed to go to school between the ages of 4 and 14? I mean, was there no school? Did you have homeschool?
There was school, but they're not real school. Let me describe to you.
Was it like American school? You can tell us.
No, not at all. It was,
were they having climate protests instead of classes?
Right. So there was no college. The university was shut down, that's for sure.
Okay.
But then the elementary school, middle school, they were more and more dysfunctional because the student would rebel against teacher, and the teacher would not. They dare not to be responsible. And so, let me give you a glimpse of it. Okay, so towards third grade to fifth grade at that time, where I was like 12, between 10 and 12 years old, the teacher, okay, gave us something called open book test.
Okay.
Where the examiner, not really exams anymore, they will give you a test, you know, a sheet with questions you can take home.
Oh.
You can look through the book to for an answer.
We used to call that homework, but okay.
right. And then, of course, the student, without discipline, they don't even want to do that. So for several years, I was whenever it was. The test time came, I became the target of the, my classmates, because they'll copy my answer.
Oh.
And once I I took this test sheet from to home and then started to look through the textbook. And my father just happened to saw what I was doing. And he got very upset. I really see him get that upset. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, that's what teacher told us, I mean, the school told us to do. And he said, as far as you are my son, you're not allowed to do this, okay? Close your book. By the way, both my parents' side of family, they were educated. My father's father was one of the earliest Chinese students educated abroad. He was educated in Canada. My mother's father was educated in France. And so my mother's father later became president of the, at that time, Poppy University, Shenzhen University. And my father's father became a top engineer of the country. So my family, for several generations, they really pay attention to education. So my father, understandably, now I understand. At that time, I didn't.
Yeah, he looks at you doing an open book test, and it's like,
Right. And so that saved me. It wasn't because I probably would be, you know, what do we know? We're just, you know, pre-teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, because of that, I was forced to memorize things, to learn things the right way. And that helped me to get into the special program after Cultural Revolution. But my classmates, they would intercept me and just copy my answer. And so I knew that was wrong because it came from my father. My father told us, so I knew that was wrong. So I would find a way to get my answer to the teacher before they can copy it. That made me the enemy of the class. I was beaten up frequently because whenever they couldn't get my answer, they get upset with me. And that was my life was. But that also, luckily, that gave me some early foundation to know, you know, what basically right and what's wrong. Honest is right and cheating is wrong. That kind of basic things. And they were not taught. They were taught the opposite. When students are not disciplined for that, it really, that destroyed a lot of young kids. Another thing that's, so I'm going to give you, instead of the, you know, systematic description, I just give you stories and give you a glimpse of, you know, what I have gone through.
Sure.
When I say I became the enemy of the class, there was something that also, besides this, that also made me stood out. So I remember there was a year when I got into the middle school, the first year. And there was this new teacher came in, and then the first thing she came to in the class, she asked us, for all those students who were the offsprings of laborer, you know, people basically, that was a class description. The laborer means peasants, farmers, workers, and all. Those are the people that the Communist Party, the ruling party, are supposed to base the ruling on. So they're the good people. And then those people who are not basically, if we describe in this country's term, it would be blue collar, right? So the blue collar would be the good people, and the white collar would be the bad people. Well, my parents, they're engineers. They're not laborers.
They're big time white collar. Yeah.
Right, they're big time white collar. And out of the whole class, there were only two people who were the offspring of white collar. So the two of us did not raise our hand. And so that made us stood out. And it turns out that after the Cultural Revolution is ended, the country was trying to get back to normal, and the school did a kind of a survey. And out of the whole school, over 1,000 students in elementary school, middle school, there were only two youngsters who did not smoke. That's me and him. And that's how that system during the Cultural Revolution really ruined. I mean, I wouldn't say completely ruined, but that gave them wrong moral guidance. And so that also made me stood out. And so I was really bullied. I personally was bullied. Like, I was just often become the target of the class. But of course, that also at the end of the Cultural Revolution, when the country wanted to revive the education, then I had a little bit of advantage that I studied during the Cultural Revolution, while others was led by the system to not study. And so that was my elementary and middle school. And then in the college, I have always done quite well in my study. And then in my third year, that university, the university I entered, University of Science and Technology, is a 5-year university, while all other universities were 4-year. When I entered my third year of study, because I have done quite well in my course study, the university gave me special permission to take examination for graduate school, and I passed it. And so I graduated 2 years ahead of what would be the normal schedule. And then that year was 1981, the first year when China's students have the opportunity to study abroad.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Just happened at the exact same time?
That was the time when China opened.
What are the odds of that? Before we start that part, let's take a really quick break, and then we'll come back because I think it's fascinating how you wound up where you did. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. I feel alive. that's a huge lie. We can't read your mind. We're kidding. It's just a little joke there. We did not become molecular biologists when we were 18. That did not happen. We've read about people, and now we know one. So you were like 18 years old. You had completed college at that time, and now you were allowed to go. Could you go anywhere, or could you just go to the U.S.?
Well, I happened to come to the U.S. I was given the opportunity to go to France. I did well in the graduate school. So, first of all, about going abroad, okay, the communists come to power in 1949. From 1949 to, like, 1980, no students were allowed to go abroad study except to go to, like, the Soviet Union, you know, the Soviet bloc country, right? And so to anywhere else, the free world, no chance. Right? The 1980 is the, 81 is the first year that there's a very small amount of students that basically... the top, you know, maybe it's just extremely small number of students allowed to study abroad. They were paid by the government at that time. So I did so well in my graduate school entrance exam. I was one of the students that was in a country select to send me to study in France. At the same time, I learned that there are some top university from America is having a program called the China United States Biology Examination Application. These are like the top 100, actually not top 100, top 50 American universities. They got together and they sponsored a program to recruit the brightest students from China to come to pass their test, special design test, and then they will facilitate us to go through the application study in the United States. And so I heard of that one, and I gave up my opportunity to go to France, and that was very bold, because that, you know, that opportunity is like a golden opportunity, and I gave it up. There's a story within it that I don't have time to go into, but I gave that up, and then I passed the COSPIA program to come to the United States. So that program from the whole country admitted 67 students, and I was one of the 67. So I came to the United States in 1981. So I was 19 years old.
And just to kind of put a little perspective on it at the time, because I know that June has told us when she came here, she thought the communists were great. She thought they were doing a great job. She had been raised with propaganda and had no idea there was any other, you know, any other way, and thought we were all pretending to be free, that we were faking. So I think it took her like 10 years to realize we weren't actually faking. It sounds like maybe your view of things during the Cultural Revolution and all that was slightly different, maybe?
No, quite the same.
Same, okay. So when you came here, did you think we were scary and bad?
I was so young.
That's true. You're 19.
My political, you know, ideas. But I was incredibly patriotic. And so I believe in what the government said at that time. Now, to be fair, okay, there was 10 years of a golden time, golden 10 years, under even the CCP ruling. That's between 1979 to 1989, exactly, just 10 years. Right? That was the 10-year so-called reform. And to be fair, I mean, to be, you know, objective, that was 10 years of change. That was relatively good. But that got shut down in 1989. And my life was changed, totally changed because of that. I'll get back to that. But when I came to the United States, I speak very little English. And yet, just within the first 2 weeks when I was here, my classmate, American classmate, asked me, am I homesick or how do I like it? I feel I was born here. I said, how much I fit in this society, because it's just, for some reason, that I just felt the freedom here that I did not have in China. The kind of pressure, the kind of political pressure, the political correctness, and Americans have no idea about what political correctness. What I described to you, you know, the whole class raising their hand and being the labor, being the...
Yeah, you're one of two kids who didn't become a chain-smoking blue-collar worker.
Right, and that was, we were politically incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
So the political correctness, you know, when just people in this country have no idea, that is. The political correctness in under communism is license to kill, basically. Right? But I, for what Jun described, it's true for almost everybody. I changed quite a lot. And that's because when I came to the United States, I learned what I did not learn in China. But my change is slightly different than Jun's. And some people hear what I'm saying, some Chinese people hear what I'm saying, what I describe, may say, okay, you just grew up in the past. China has changed so much. So many people tell me that China has changed so much after the Cultural Revolution. Well, unfortunately, yes, it has changed so much. It has changed, sorry, for worse. China is a lot worse now than even after the Cultural Revolution. And here I want to describe one thing I know, China has change for worse, and something fundamental never changed. Okay, that's about education. After I came to the United States, I studied in the college. I became a graduate student, but I worked as a teaching assistant. That gave me the exposure to the college education. I'm in a graduate study program, but my TA gave me the opportunity to look into the undergraduate.
Oh, that you had just finished. Sure.
I finished it. Yeah, I was doing the graduate study, but I was teaching the undergraduate. Right. And so I was probably more observant than others. And so I thought of one question that was curious to me, because clearly when I work with undergraduates and those freshman students, China's freshman students were better prepared. That means that China's high school students, they got their math, they got their physics down better. Yet once you get into the graduate student program, China students is no match compared to American college students. And that makes me wonder, say, okay, the transition happened during college. Why is this transition? And I looked into it, and my discovery shocked me. And I discovered, because In United States education, we have something called a general education. This did not exist in China.
Oh, everything is very specific.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, the students, okay, the university in the United States or in free world is a place to teach civilization and the ability to develop civilization. So the product of American education or Western free world education is a human being where you would know the humanity, you will know the history of the civilization, you have the ability to contribute to the furtherment of the civilization. Right? Whereas in China, the product I describe as, robot or artificial intelligence. We did not have a general education. I didn't, at least. Right?
Interesting.
We were immediately, put into science, math.
Sure.
You are specialized in the particular area that the government expects you to go out of college and be a machine.
We have a term for that. We call that being pigeonholed.
Pigeonholed.
And we have to take I can't believe a really quick break. Capitalism is wonderful, but it's so it just interrupts us all the time. The alternatives are bad, but we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. You're listening to We the People.
Too much money they spend on the moon. Well, I'm sure they make it right. I hope they never sleep at night. They better make some changes and do it soon. Take it.
If you're going to study in China, you're not going to see anything yet. You can only see what they tell you to see.
Okay.
Gosh, Dr. Chen, we were talking, Bill and I were chatting here during the break, and I'm sure that that creates a really, really competent workforce, maybe, but
you get exactly what you need and no cross-pollination.
But potentially
so
not a super happy workforce.
Worse than that, and this is we got to really important topic. The reason I said the product of China's education is just robot or artificial intelligence is that you were given skills, but you were not given value.
Yeah.
And we contribute to maybe line of production. We don't contribute to the development of civilization.
Civilization, yeah.
Is that why? Because it kind of makes sense. Our first hour, we were talking about the intellectual property theft and those things. And they can copy anything, but they don't always they don't invent very much. That makes perfect sense. They're not taught to invent.
The Chinese people is one of the hardest working people. It is the system that forced them to where they are now, forced them to be dishonest. There's a deeper reason for that, but before I go on to there, I want to say this to my fellow Americans. Look out. The value that the education gives to young students, this is the most important thing for the youngsters, but also for a country, for a nation, for a future. And look out how the liberals, the progressives, are trying to manipulate our general education system.
Mm-hmm. Take away the history.
Right. take away the history, demonizing the history.
Yeah, demonizing actually debate and thought and the free exchange of ideas.
Right. And so, let me go back to China, and that explains why for... I don't think they would need graduate school even now. All right. At least from 1949 to 1990, there's really no graduate study program in China, no real one. I mean, they're in the name of that, but what do I mean by real graduate student, graduate study? Okay. This is my viewpoint of the free world education, where when you go through a four-year program, education, you came out a college student, you still don't know what you're going to do for your career. And that's why it's very common. A larger percentage of college graduates, they would go out to work for 1 or 2 years. And then they will develop what they will be really interested in. And they'll go to graduate school. That's where they do their specialized study. After the specialized study, they focus on one area. They're a doctor, they're a lawyer, they're a biologist, they're a musician, and artist, and that. The college do not yet fix what's their career yet. The college prepared them, gave them the value to then go on their next stage of career. And that's not the case in China. It's not the case in Soviet Union, right? Once you come out of college, you're molded. You become that robot. You become that artificial intelligence.
Yeah, your path has been chosen.
Yeah, yeah. You then become a cog of the society, cog of the machine. You don't have your own value. And so that already hurts their capability of invention. But the current situation where a whole nation is so prone to deception, stealing is deception, is because the system under the CCP forces people to be dishonest in many ways, in many, many different ways. The worst way, of course, is the political way. I have described in my previous interview that, you know, there's always political purge. There are always political movements. And to protect themselves, you never know when you'll be sold out or backstabbed by your friends. You become devious. You become protective. And if necessary, you sell others out. You know, you sell your friends out, backstab them. Mm-hmm. And so that forces the... Unfortunately, it's true. I mean, I'm using the word. People may not realize that it forces people to be dishonest, to cut corners. See, the traditional Chinese culture, there's an important concept called, Chinese word called the shen du, meaning be vigilant when alone. Because when you're alone is when nobody watches you. And that's the time that you're prone to do wrong things. So the traditional Chinese culture teaches one to be honest to oneself, self-honesty. And unfortunately, the self-honesty is losing in this country as well. I'm sorry to warn that. But in China, the self-honesty was forced away by the government. And because of that, when you don't have that, when you don't have that self-restraint, self-honesty, when you study in the United States, when you come across a business secret or important discovery that could make you a lot of money, you'll steal it. once you've stolen it, of course you cannot use it in the United States. Where is the best place for you to steal that and make money for yourself? China. And that's why it's not the Chinese people, it's the system
sure.
that have forced them to act this way. And that is why there's never been that large number of people who are so prone to take advantage or, you know, or to steal, to cut corner, to benefit from dishonesty, to not count on hard work, but trickery.
Dan, you see that in every field too, every product, every discipline. You see the corners being cut and the.
And last time I talked about the 1,000 talent
mm-hmm.
program,
right?
Yeah, last week in the United States, the supposed. Head of this program or a liaison person in the United States was arrested in New York. And you can look into that news. Okay, so we're talking about 1,000 talent. These are the top, those the brightest scholars that the government would recruit. If they don't, they're not right, then the government wouldn't, or the Chinese communist regime wouldn't even let them. So these are the brightest scientists, engineers, right, that the regime would pay attention to. So they're supposed to be role models. But they are
right.
also at the same time.
But they can't.
The leading sea. And that's the scary part. That reminds us. I don't know whether you think about it. I thought about the Nazi doctors.
Yes.
They are experts in medicine or in whatever, but they are the worst
The
worst.
Using it for evil. Dr. Jen, we have run out of time, believe it or not. That was a swift hour. We will have to do this again. We appreciate you
sharing.
Yeah,
we've got to have you back. That was such great information.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can find all this information in the archive of today's program at wethepeopleradio.us, and you've been listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.